So I'm going to be reading today 10 verses, yea, verily 10 verses, and I was already thinking about the fact that I probably would not finish this today. I mean, I could, but you wouldn't want me to finish it today because you're probably going to be ready for lunch here shortly. But I'm going to read all 9 or 10 verses, and then we'll see where we end up stopping in the course of this message, and I will pick it up next week. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And finally, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And I want to preach for the next 25 minutes or so our great salvation. Now, before you're seated, if you have your Bible or your phone or your iPad in your hand, I want you to set that down, and then I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord and shout with the voice of triumph, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we magnify you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your great salvation that you have wrought and you have bestowed upon us. God, we've come to give you glory and honor and praise for who you are and for what you have done. And we magnify your name together. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. And once again, thank you for all of those kind words, and especially to John and whoever helped him make the arrangements for that. I know he has historically been the one that has kind of spearheaded that. And I knew the card was out there because I do like a schedule, but I'm not blind, and so I could see that. But I chose to ignore it and not sneak over and read ahead of time what you were writing. But thank you for all of that. How many of you have something valuable in your life? You have an item in your life that is valuable that you hold dear. Anybody have something? Could be an antique. It could be a memento from an earlier experience. A few hands. Anybody else? You got something that is valuable to you? Your wallet, your credit card, your keys, whatever it may be. All of us probably have things in our lives that are valuable, and to the extent of their value, we treat them differently than other things. Now, I know when people get a new car, they're very careful. You get a new car, whether it's new to you or it's brand new, either way, how many of you've had a new car new to you, and you park as far away from the store as you can where there are no other cars so nobody hits it and bumps into it, puts a dent or a scratch? Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody? A few people? Okay. All right. The reason is because you value that and you want to keep it in the state in which it is. You don't want it to get dinged up, banged up, scratched up, I come out at times, even with an older vehicle, and I'm like, man, I got a new dent or a new ding or whatever. And it just happens. It's what happens in parking lots. People get out, they're not careful, or maybe you park too close to them and they couldn't get in, so they made a room for themselves to get into their vehicle because of your poor parking job. But what seems to happen is this, especially with cars, once you get the first new ding or scratch, at least new to your tenure of owning the vehicle, then you're like, whatever. Forget walking across the parking lot. I'm getting as close as I can. Even if I have to park right next to a dilapidated vehicle that looks like it's been in 17 wrecks, it's just going to be okay if they hit my vehicle. No big deal. And over time, if we're not careful, we begin to devalue things that once held significant value to us. Jesus would tell the parable. Actually, he told three parables in Luke chapter 15. He told the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and of course the lost son. But in that particular parable, especially with the sheep, there are 100 sheep, all of which have value to the shepherd, all of which are important to the shepherd, all of which are dear and near to the shepherd. And in the course of life, one of the sheep becomes lost. And Jesus would say that this good shepherd, he will leave the 99 that are in the fold. He leaves them in a safe place and he goes out searching for the one lost sheep. Why? Because it's got value to him. It's important to him. It's not just, well, I've got 99 others. They'll have some offspring here next spring. He doesn't look at it that way. He says every sheep is valuable, and so he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. Or he tells the woman who has 10 coins who loses one, now instead of 1%, it's 10%. That's a whole bigger deal. And she cleans her house and she searches everywhere. She sweeps every corner. She looks under every item, searching for the one lost coin until she finds it. And in both of these parables, Jesus would say that that lost sheep or that lost coin, it is like a lost person. And the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. That to heaven, the salvation of one is very important. And I would even say to you and I in this room that when you first began a relationship with Jesus, it had great value to you. That you were like, you were excited, you couldn't wait to tell people about what Jesus had done in your life because it was important. It was a milestone. I was lost and now I'm found. I was on my way to hell and now I'm on my way to heaven. I was blind, but now I see. And it's just something we're celebrating and getting excited about and telling everybody. I was 11 years old, November 12th, 1983, on a Saturday night when John Kershaw's preaching about the end times and the ashes of the red heifer. They've got red heifers. They're searching for them, and they've just about found one that doesn't have a single white hair or brown hair or black hair, and it's going to meet the biblical criteria, and they're going to begin to offer sacrifices on the temple that they're getting ready to build. And I was like, I'm scared to death. Jesus is coming, and I'm not going to be saved. And in 30 seconds after praying for many times for 30 and 40 minutes, in 30 seconds, I was speaking in a language I didn't know. And when I was done with that, you know what I did? I sat down and said, no big deal. No, that's not what I did. I went and told everybody, and I went up on the platform and told my dad, and I told the pastor, hey, I just got the Holy Ghost. It was valuable to me. It was exciting about what Jesus had done. No, this is in my notes, but fast forward to 15 and a half, and I got my license, listening to secular music, hanging out with the wrong friends, and for 3 or 4 years in and out of church and in and out of a relationship with God. Why? Because that same value it had that night of November the 12th, 1983, it lost its value. It got a little ding here and a little scratch there, and it's like it's no big deal. And over time, we can do what we do with items, we can do with our salvation, and we begin to not value it quite so much. We begin to say, well, you know, it was good. But what else is out there, and what else is available, and what else can I find? And there are people who have been born again that will ask the question, is living for Jesus really worth it? I would venture to say, even in this room, there are those in this room, and maybe if you just got the Holy Ghost last week or last month, you're probably not there yet. But there are for many in this room, you would have asked that question, is it really worth it? Is it really that big a deal? Do I really need to go all in on Jesus? Do I really need to put all of my eggs in that basket? Is it really that big a deal? I've come to tell you that if you do not value your salvation, you will leave it when times are tough, or when the world dangles a carrot in front of you and says, come try this latest new thing or this latest new idea or this latest thing on social media, that you will walk away from the truth of the Word of God if it is not something that is valuable to you. He's not mentioned in Scripture hardly at all. Just a little small piece. But the one important thing we know about Demas is this, that Paul, when he lists all of the things that are going on at the end of this epistle, and he's wanting his proteges to come and visit him, he says this, all have forsaken me. And he throws out Demas. In the middle of all of this, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What was once so valuable to Demas, what was once so important to Demas, what was once so important that Demas would leave his home and he would join Paul's missionary team. And he would travel around and he would tell and preach the gospel to people who had never heard the gospel. Somewhere through situations and troubles and trials, Demas decided it wasn't worth it. It was once valuable, but now I got other stuff I'd rather do. More important things than to spend my life traipsing around Asia Minor planting churches. I've got more important things, easier things. And Paul would say that Demas left him, has forsaken him, having loved the present world. If we're not careful, time will have its way with our salvation experience, and we will begin to devalue it over time. Sometimes it's tribulation and trial. Sometimes it's just life in general. Life happens, and it's not always good. For the people that Peter is writing to, the people that are receiving this letter initially, they're in a time of persecution. They're being persecuted by the government of the Roman Empire. It's difficult. It's not any fun to be persecuted. And by persecuted, I don't mean they're talking bad about them. I mean they're killing them and they're throwing them in prison. This is real persecution, as I preached about last week. But Peter, after his opening statements in this first epistle that he writes, talking about that these are people of the diaspora, these are people that have been scattered, these are people of God that have been pushed out and persecuted, and he makes the understanding that this world is not our home, so you can't really expect to fit in, you can't really expect for everything to go good and everything to be just as great as you want it to be. He then turns to the subject of my next 12 minutes, and that is this, our great salvation. He begins to talk about the salvation that you and I have, this salvation that Jesus has given us, this salvation that should be at the apex of our value system, this salvation that should be more important than anything else in our life. And he lists it out, and he gives some reasons for this great salvation. I'm just going to preach the first reason to you today, and I will save the next two for next week. But the first reason that he would give for our great salvation and why we should be so appreciative of it and value it so much is that it ensures our reception of a future inheritance. That God's salvation ensures that we're going to have a future inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He said, blessed be God. And that word is the same word we get the word eulogize. When you go to a funeral and they're doing a eulogy, it says he is worthy to be spoken well of. We should talk good about him because of what he has done. That we should have nothing but good to say about the God of the universe who came down in the form of man and went on, died on a cross and was buried and rose again, that you and I could have eternal life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time you just paused and gave God thanks and praise and spoke well of him for the salvation that he has worked in your life and for Jesus Christ dying the death that you couldn't, that you needed and deserved to die after living the life that you couldn't live, and he rose again on the third day so that you and I could live with him forever? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But after saying that, he gives some reasons why we have this future inheritance. The first thing he says is this: God has rebirthed us, or caused us to be born again according to his mercy. It was the mercy of God that led to you and I being born again. What does it mean to be born again? I just added this into my notes this morning to talk about it, because sometimes I can just kind of gloss over things. I know it's probably, you're probably like, if you've been around here a while, glossing over being born again, well, I'm going to tell you again what it means to be born again. But before I do that, let me just say this. I hear people all the time, they're using that word born again, or that phrase born again. We're born again Christian, and they do surveys and they do all these things, and it's like, well, I can be Protestant, I can be Catholic, I can be born again. And for much of our culture, what they mean by born again is it's people that actually are serious about their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And to that extent, I'm born again. Because I'm serious about my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian in name only, but I have been born again of the Word of God. I've been born again by the Spirit of God, and I'm taking it serious. The problem is, though, that's the extent of their definition of what it means to be born again. But the Bible gives a definition of what it means to be born again. And it's not so that you can answer a question on a survey by George Barna or Gallup. But the Bible gives an answer of being born again, and it's got a lot of specificity in it. It's not just whatever you want it to mean, because it actually uses that phrase, born again. It's actually a Bible phrase. Which means that if you want to define what it means to be born again, you should go to where the Bible uses the phrase born again to get your definition. And I've heard people say, well, you need to be born again, and then they go anywhere but where the Bible actually says be born again. Well, that's not helpful. That you just get to define it yourself, but when Jesus defines it, you don't get to define it yourself. I mean, you can. You just will be wrong. So what does it mean to be born again? Jesus would say to Nicodemus, you want to go to heaven? You got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. He's talking about a water birth that takes place through baptism and a Spirit birth that takes place through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, evidence and speaking a language you don't know. And it's just that simple. So what Peter would say, you've been born again. And can you thank you for your words? I don't remember if you were there the launch service or the next one. It's either September 15 or September 22nd, for those of you that like the fact that I know dates. But it was, I'd have to look it up. It was the last Sunday in October of 2019 when Kenya received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know that she was expecting that, but God was expecting that, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time. Right there at Green Springs Elementary. We're born again according to His mercy. The mercy of God is what allows us to not receive the bad things that we deserve. That you and I deserve death. There's only one penalty for sin. Only one. It's death. There's no other penalty for sin. It's not money. It's not a multitude of good deeds. It's not living good for the next 30 or 40 years of your life. You can't earn. There is only one penalty for sin, and that is death. And there's only two ways to pay for your sin. Both of them are death. It's either yours or it's the death of Jesus on the cross. So what you and I deserved was death. But Jesus had another plan. Jesus had something better. Where you and I didn't have to die. The only death you and I have to die is the death to self. Where we say, I'm going to turn from my way to your way. I'm going to turn from doing what I want to do, God, to doing what you want me to do. It's called repentance. That's the only death you and I have to die. Yeah, we might die physically, but we're going to wake up in eternity. And I don't mean that a long time later. You close your eyes here, you open them over there. For to die is to be present with the Lord. But understand, there's one way to pay the penalty for your sin, and it's either your death or His. And justice says you should die for your sin. The justice of God says that you should pay the penalty for your sin. As Anna comes, I'm still on the first point of the first point. But here's the deal. Jesus isn't looking to send us to hell. He's not looking to punish us forever. He's looking to redeem us. He created us. He loves us. He wants to spend an eternity with us. And so by His mercy, He doesn't give us that negative thing which you and I deserve, but He pays the penalty for your sin and mine as long as we enter into a relationship with Him. We just got to follow and choose to follow Him. We just got to choose to give our life to Jesus. Say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. It was referenced a couple of times about us answering the call of God and coming here to Olathe. That's just an outflow of what we've already done. That's just an outflow of that first repentance. That's just an outflow of just saying, God, I'm here, I'm available to you. It's no big thing. I've been doing that for a long time. It's not always easy. But when it's clear, it sure makes it real easy. When you know what God wants you to do, it's really easy just to say yes if you've been saying yes. His mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. His mercy is great. It's not just a little mercy, but it is a great mercy. It's an abundant mercy. And when Peter would write this by His great mercy, it's not even the magnitude or the the quality of the mercy as much as it is the abundance of His mercy. That there is no limit to His mercy. It's untappable. It's not, I've used His mercy last year, so He's getting a little low. No, His mercies are new every morning. Every morning we get the same opportunity to get His mercy. Every day we get the same opportunity to come back to Him and say, God, I know I deserve, I messed up again, and I deserve hell. I know I deserve to be left out. I deserve for You to walk away, but His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are there for you and I every day. Great is His mercy. I don't have time to get to this future inheritance. I'll start over and preach the whole message next week. You and I have a great salvation. And because of His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. And I referenced November 12th, 1983. But it's not just the date. It's not just, hey, you know, I went to Papa Do's on this date or something. You know? I had the best meal of my life on this date. Oh, it's the date my name gets written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the date the God of the universe put His Spirit within me. And I don't ever want to forget that day. I don't ever want to forget that joy. I don't ever want to forget what it meant for me to surrender my life to Him and for Him to come and live on the inside of me. Because it's not just some random good thing that God would do. It's not just some cool aspect of something that I can just be like, oh yeah, one of the many great things in my life. But if it wasn't for that moment, I wouldn't be going to heaven. If it wasn't for that first time, my name would not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it wasn't for the first time of me accessing His mercy and Jesus going, you deserve death, but let me give you life. You deserve to spend an eternity away from me, but let me give you an eternity forever with me. I don't ever want to devalue that. I don't ever want to forget what He's done. And I would encourage you, never forget what He's done. But too many people, they have an encounter with Jesus. And it wears off after a little while. It's just like your kids getting toys at Christmas. They have to have it. It's the greatest, newest thing. Santa's going to bring me this great toy. And by the 26th of December, it's in a corner already. I had to have it. I got it, and it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. But when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's all it's cracked up to be if you understand what you've received. Sometimes people don't understand what they've got. Sometimes people don't understand what they've received, and they think it's just another religious experience. Everything was good already. I just got this extra blessing. God forbid that we should devalue what He has done in our lives and just count it as an extra blessing when He has said, you must be born again. Would you stand together with me? I don't even know how to close this message since I didn't really preach it. My conclusion is not totally applicable for what we've done. But while, I have talked about our salvation, and let me just circle back one more time. Understand this, that Jesus loves everyone in this room. And that Jesus paid the penalty on the cross for the sins of the whole world. His sacrifice on the cross is sufficient. It has the ability to cover every sin of every person who has ever lived or will ever live. His blood and His sacrifice are that powerful. But it's not enough that He did it. You have to have it applied to your life. It's not just that everything's good because He went to the cross and I don't need to do anything. No, there is a process by which you and I can access His mercy, and you and I can access that forgiveness of sins that comes through His death on the cross. It starts with faith. It said, I believe He is. I believe He exists. I believe there is a God. And I believe this God created me, and I believe this God loves me, and I believe this God has a plan for my life, and I believe this God wants me to live with Him forever. But I also believe He's the only way, that I can't get there from where I am unless I go through Him. That in whatever state of lostness I may be in, I've got to just, if I can just get to Him, He'll take me the rest of the way. So we come to Him in faith, and we come to Him in repentance. We come to Him with bowed knees, saying, God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You, and I've done things that Your Word says I shouldn't do, and I haven't done the things Your Word says I should do. So Jesus, forgive me. I'm going to endeavor to walk and to live in a way that's pleasing to You. I'm going to endeavor to live in a way that You want me to live. It's that turning from self, turning to God. If you've never done that, or maybe you've done it, but you need to do it again, because we can never repent enough. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to do that. In fact, let me do it this way. I'd like everybody in the room to come to the front today. Just make your way up to the front here. If you're in the room, I'm calling on you. Repentance is just saying, I'm sorry, God, would You forgive me? That's the easier part. The harder part is saying, God, I'm going to turn from what I've been doing to what You want me to do. So we're going to pray just a prayer of repentance. You can use your own words. You don't have to repeat after me. You don't have to say what I'm saying at all. But if you need to repent, if you've never repented, or you just need to do it again because of life and situations and circumstances, and you haven't been following Jesus like you need to, now is the time. Father, I pray right now, God, that You purify and cleanse me. God, we have no hope of eternal life without You. God, we have no hope of spending eternity without You. God, we need You to get us there. We need Your forgiveness. We need You to wash us clean. We need You to forgive us of our sin. We need You to help us, Lord, to follow You. God, we commit today that we're going to turn from everything that we know that's not like You, and we're going to turn towards You, and we're going to follow You completely. We acknowledge that You are the only way. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. God, we commit our lives to you. We commit to serving you today. We commit to following you today. Lord, wherever you lead, that's where we're going to go. Whatever you ask of us, we're going to say yes. Whatever you want us to add into our lives, we're going to add it in. And whatever you want us to get out, we're going to take it out. God, we're going to submit our lives to you completely. We're going to give ourselves to you completely. Yes, Lord. Come on, would you just cry, I feel the presence of the Lord. You can move from repentance to praise, and we'll walk through the other stuff in a moment. But would you just capitalize on what you're feeling right now, what you're experiencing? In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.